at Calvary's crest. Hell just one gift, God's very best. And from His side, His hands and His feet, His precious blood decorated that tree. Because of love, He died that day,
and all He had, He gave away.
The most precious gift I ever received came by way of God's first Christmas tree.
You being here this morning from the bottom of my heart. I want to look down into this little manger this morning. We know that actually, and I studied it out years ago, the manger was a stone that was hewn out in the top. It was what they used to feed the animals in the stables in those days. But for the sake of illustration this morning, I didn't even know that'd be sitting there, but I've been looking at it now for about an hour and a half while Brother Brian was teaching. We've been getting into the service, and I want to look down in there this morning and see what we can see. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews this morning, please. The book of Hebrews and chapter number 7. I hope that as you look around today, you can see that we're missing a lot of our people. A lot of our people are struggling right now. There are issues, physical issues going on, and many of our people are getting up in years, and I thank God for each one, but I miss them when they're not here. We've been in touch with them and talked with them, and I guess I'm just bringing it to your attention as you look around. There's someone that needs our prayers, amen, that would love to be here this wonderful day for the meal and for the fellowship, but are unable to do so. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to look at Hebrews chapter number 7. For the sake of time, I want to begin reading in verse number... I'll just read verse 19. That's where the message is coming from. There'll be a lot of text surrounding it that I hope you'll go home. I took the time this morning to read the entire book of Hebrews. It's a wonderful book. And the book of Hebrews over and over and over uses the word better. And it's been, I guess, over a week ago now that the Lord began to stir in my heart about this verse of Scripture. The Bible said here in Hebrews 11, or excuse me, 7 and verse 19, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God." God being my helper this morning, I want to preach on a better hope. And I hope that we'll never look at the manger the same way again, and share some things with you that I believe will be a blessing. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you for each one that's come this way today. And I pray, dear Lord, that for just a little while now that you will clothe us in our calling. I pray, Lord, that there'd be a special, special anointing, Lord, on the preaching, on the hearing of thy word. And God, that today we might just be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Have your way, dear Father, and God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I thought this was interesting. I'd already started to study about this better hope. And I promise you that I could study on this for weeks and still just be scratching at the surface. There's so much to think about, so much to meditate upon. But I thought it was interesting when I went back in the Bible and looked, I always try to look at that first mention of a word. And the first mention of the word hope is found over in the book of Ruth. And it was pertaining to Naomi as she was talking to her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. She was encouraging her daughters-in-law. They had lost their husbands down in Moab. She was encouraging them to go back to their people. In other words, you can't go with me. There's nothing in Israel for you. Just go back. And they said, no, they were weeping. And they said, we're going to. And she said, well, if I should have hope. Should, you know, it was pertaining to childbearing. The first mention of the word hope in the scripture was pertaining to childbearing. And she was saying, in other words, if I could have another child, would you wait for him to be your husband? I mean, that'd be 20, 25 years later before he would even qualify. And I thought that was interesting that hope, the first mention of it in the Bible, it has to do with childbearing. But this child, Jesus, that came into the world, I hope when we leave here today, we can see the hope. When the Bible said the bringing in of a better hope, this is where God brought that better hope in, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you. I thank God for this time of year. I thank God for the time of Easter. I thank God for the time of Thanksgiving. Let me tell you something. We're human. We need reminders. Every once in a while along the way, we just need to stop and remember. Amen. And stop and meditate upon the things of God. You say, preacher, what do you see when you look down into that manger? Let me give you just a couple of things real quickly. First of all, I see the hope of Israel. The Bible said the bringing in of a better hope did. The Bible said in Jeremiah 17:3, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. So when I look down in that manger this morning, I see the hope of Israel. I thank God, Brother Brian, the Sunday school lesson, that's what those prophets were saying. Hope is on the way. Amen. Help in that hope is on the way. The Lord is going to provide what we need in the Savior, that baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Acts 28:20, for this cause, Paul said, then I called for you to see and to speak with you, for I have this chain around me for the hope of Israel. Paul was locked up. Paul was in prison because he was preaching the resurrection of the dead. He was preaching a gospel, not of law, but a gospel of grace. He was preaching a gospel of salvation, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Paul said, the reason I have these chains on me, the reason you all have locked me up, is because of the hope of Israel, because that there's something different about this baby. And I hope and I pray this morning that you'll see some of that in this hope. Not only do I find when I look down in here, I don't know what that little baby's eyes look like, but I wonder if Mary, she pondered these things the Word of God said in her heart. Joseph knew that it was a miraculous conception. Amen, that he didn't have anything to do with it. Joseph not only knew that he didn't have anything to do with it, but when the angel got through communicating with Joseph, he knew that no other man had anything to do with it either. That it was the God of heaven that had conceived through the Holy Spirit. And you have to wonder, in the incarnation, you have to wonder if Mary, as she looked into his eyes and heard his little cry, if she didn't realize that he was the one that spoke the worlds in their place. He was the one, beloved, listen, that thundered from Mount Sinai. He was the one, beloved, that was promised down through the years, the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. But not only do you see, as you look down in here, the hope of Israel, but you see the hope of the Gentile. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Ephesians 2 and verse number 12 said in that at that time you were without Christ. How many remembers when you were without Christ? Well, you know, let me just say something to you. When you were without Christ, you were without hope. Say amen. That's what the Bible's going to say right here. The Bible said, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Oh, I tell you, it thrills my heart just every once in a while to go back in my life and remember a time that I was without Christ, a time that I had no hope. But oh, thank God for the day that by faith the Lord let me see that someone came into this world. He was born to die that I might live. Amen. He came into this world knowing that 33 and a half years later, he would take our place on an old rugged cross. I thank the Lord for that. The hope of the Gentile. Listen, the Word of God said this. It said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Listen to me carefully now. God was manifest in the flesh. That's what we're looking at right here. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels. Here's what I'm getting at, the hope of the Gentile. Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So as we look down here this morning, we see the hope of Israel, but we also see the hope of the Gentile. I read this. G.K. Chesterton said, hope means hoping when things are hopeless. Now wait a minute. You say, preacher, what do you mean hoping when things are hopeless? Well, if you can fix it, then you don't need hope. Say amen. Hope is a synonym in the Word of God for faith. Now, the Word of God, this man said, hope means hoping when things are hopeless, or it is no virtue at all. He said, as long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be our strength. How many remembers when the Holy Ghost of God brought you under conviction and showed you, beloved, that you were lost and undone, that you were a sinner, that you were separated from God, that you were on your way to hell? I tell you what I found myself in, Brother Mike, a hopeless situation. But oh, I'm glad the Spirit of God, the same one that brought me to that hopeless situation, showed me that there was hope in this one called Jesus that came into this world to give his life for me and for you and for the sin of mankind. Beloved, he's the hope of Israel. When I look, I see the hope of Israel. I see the hope of the Gentile. I just want to stop and say with the songwriter, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not claim the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I believe this morning, listen, this would be a good question. If you were to stand before God today, and God said, why should I let you into my heaven? I tell you, beloved, listen, you shouldn't be talking about anything except Jesus. I mean, listen, if God said, all right, Brother Vinoy, why should I let you into my heaven? I'm not going to mention preaching. I'm not going to mention praying. I'm not going to mention reading the Bible. I'm not going to mention studying. I'm not going to mention giving. I'm not going to mention being a husband or being a papaw or being a father or trying to be a good citizen in the United States of America. I'm not going to mention any of those things. But if God were to say, why should I let you into my heaven? I'd have to say, your son, the Lord Jesus, came into this world. God incarnate. God became flesh. Amen. Live the sinless, spotless, holy, harmless life. Set that example. Went to Calvary. Shed his blood. And God, beloved, listen, would say, come on in. I'm telling you, that's the only way that man is going to make it to heaven, is through the blood of this little baby that grew up and gave his life on an old rugged cross. Oh, beloved friend, this morning, the hope of Israel, the hope of the Gentile. But then listen to this, the hope of all creation. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Romans chapter 8, listen to this. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Beloved, the hope of all the creation. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, if you go back there to the Garden of Eden, beloved, you could have a garden without weeds. If you go back there to the Garden of Eden, the lamb and the lion, they just played together. They bounced around in the field together. If you went back there in the Garden of Eden, the serpent wasn't trying to bite somebody with its poisonous fangs. If you go back there to the Garden of Eden, beloved, you could go up and pick the prettiest rose without having to worry about getting stuck by a thorn down under the rose. How many's with me so far? But then man messed up. You see, man sinned against God. And beloved, listen, the curse not only came upon mankind, but the curse came upon the creation. And now, beloved, there's weeds. Now there's thorns. Now there's thistles, the Word of God said. Are you listening? Everybody's listening to me. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say, beloved. Listen, since that time, the creation has been wanting to get back to the way it was before. Amen. Amen. Get out from under that curse. And you say, preacher, what do you see when you look down in here? I see the hope of Israel. I see the hope of the Gentile. But right here's the hope of the whole creation, that one day it's going to be turned around and it's going to go back to the way it was before. Amen. And we're no longer going to be under the curse, and the trees in the field will clap their hands and rejoice because God has brought them out from under the curse of sin. Once again, the hope of all the creation is right there in that little manger. And then the hope of glory is right here. You say, preacher, glory. What do you mean, glory? Here's what I mean. I mean, there's a day coming, beloved, that I'm going to have a new body. There's a day coming, I'll get into it in a little bit, when I'm going to be like Jesus. You say, preacher, how can you have a hope like that right here? Right here. Listen what the Bible said. For to them God would make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know why I'm going to make it? Because he lives in me. I said, do you know why I'm going to make it? Because he lives in me. Amen. Think about the hope of glory. The Bible said in Romans, back chapter number 8, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Not only the creation is groaning, Brother Thurman, wanting to get out from under this curse, but thank God there's something in every one of us that's groaning, wanting to get out from under this curse. But listen to me this morning. The Bible said, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. You say, preacher, what are you waiting for? I'm waiting for Jesus to step out on that cloud, and I'm going to hear the trumpet sound, and I'm going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. You say, preacher, what if you die? You'll have to wait on me. Amen? Because the Bible said the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and we'll be like Jesus. Amen? Every man that hath this hope in him, the word of God said, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I see the hope of Israel. I see the hope of the Gentile. I see the hope of the whole creation. And I see the hope of glory. When I look down into this little baby's eyes this morning, I thank God this morning. Listen, listen, don't forget this. Let me just say this while it's in my heart. When he comes the next time, he's not coming as a baby. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, this little baby grew up. This little baby got down on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. This little baby said, Father, if it's thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. This little baby cried from Calvary, I thirst. He grew up. Amen. This little baby cried from Calvary, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This little baby cried from Calvary, Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. But then, thank God, there come a time when this little baby cried from Calvary, it is finished. And, beloved, the payment had been made in full. And the word of God said, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Letting everybody know he had the power to lay his life down, and he had the power to take it up again. Oh, beloved, a better hope. I'm going to give you something this morning. Listen to me carefully. Stay with me, please. Just a few more minutes here. I'm about halfway through. Stay with me just a few minutes this morning. I don't know about you, but when I miss church for a Sunday, a whole Sunday and a Wednesday, somebody say amen. Y'all already knew that gun was going to be loaded this morning, didn't you? Amen? Amen? I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm glad that's in my heart. I'm glad they don't know how anybody have to beg me to go to the house of God. I want to go. Amen? I miss it when I can't go. You said that's because you're the pastor. No, honey, it's that way before I was ever a preacher. Say amen. I loved him, and I love him today. Oh, beloved friend, this better hope. Let me give you this. I want to give you some things this morning, just hurriedly. I won't take a lot of time. But the Bible said the law made nothing perfect. The law made nothing perfect. The law made nothing perfect. God gave me a statement. Now listen, and I think it's perfect in that it explains what's going on in this verse of Scripture. What the law came to do was not to make anything perfect. What the law came to do was to point out our imperfections. The Word of God said the law is our schoolmaster. So the law comes along and points out our imperfections. You say, preacher, I ain't got any imperfections. If that come out of your mouth, you just admitted one, you lied. Say amen. The law comes along to point out our imperfections, but listen, it doesn't just do that, Brother Rose. The law points us to the one that's perfect. The Word of God doesn't point us to ourselves or our own righteousness. The Word of God doesn't point us to a religion or a creed. The Word of God, the law of God, points us to Christ. That's the only way we can be forgiven. Think about this. I wrote down several things. The Bible said the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. So what the Bible is saying now, the law can't make anything perfect, but the Lord can make some things perfect. The law can't make anything perfect, but the Lord. What did the Bible say in one place? The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The letter, beloved, the law, is what caused us to realize that we were sitting there or standing there dead in trespasses and in sin. guilty before a holy God. But then the law didn't stop there. Thank God it didn't. It said, the law said, you're not perfect. But the law said, can I tell you about one who is? Can I point you to one who is? And beloved, this morning I'm going to say some things that I believe will be a blessing. Let me give you several things quickly. First of all, what do I see? This better hope made some perfect things. First of all, I see a perfect plan. Let me ask you this. If you were confronted with the same problem that God was confronted with, man has sinned. Man is separated from God. Man needs to be reconciled. How in the world would you come up with a plan where it wouldn't matter if you were black or white? Wouldn't matter if you were Jew or Gentile? Wouldn't matter if you were rich or poor? Wouldn't matter if you were old or young? Wouldn't matter if you were really, really intelligent or if you couldn't even write your name? Only God. Beloved, when I look down here, I see a perfect plan. God said, what I'll do is I'll send my son. And he'll take on the body just like theirs. And he'll walk just like they walk. With the exception, as he's tempted in all points, he's never going to give in to that temptation. He's going to walk perfect. He's going to walk holy. He's going to walk harmless. He's not going to break the law. He's going to fulfill the law so that those of us who have broken the law of God can be forgiven and restored and regenerated and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So I see a perfect plan. What the Bible said here is about talking about the incarnation, this mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. Listen to me, there's a lot of isms in the world that don't believe that. That's exactly right. Well, that's a problem, brother, amen. I'll say this, beloved, the Bible teaches that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Listen to me carefully. And the Word was God. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the Word of God said. Oh, beloved friend, I see a perfect plan. The wonder. Listen to it. I don't know if it was last night, later this morning, early, but I listened to the inspiration sing, the wonder of wonders. The wonder of wonders as she looked on his face. That this little boy spoke the worlds in their place. This is the same one, beloved, that hung it all out there, the stars and the moon and the sun. And the earth, they were all created by Him. Let me say this to you this morning. If your Jesus is a created being, you have the wrong Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible is not a created being. The Jesus of the Bible is not just getting started right here in this manger. He always has been. He's just coming down in the incarnation. God had a perfect plan. Listen, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. What a blessing. A perfect plan. The second thing, God had a perfect priest. I don't have time to go into all of it. Beloved, if you'll notice in the book of Hebrews chapter number 7 and other places as well, the priesthood under the law was out of the tribe of Levi. But Jesus was going to come after the order of Melchizedek. He was going to come out of the tribe of Judah. And beloved, listen, He has an unchangeable priesthood. Beloved, those priests in the Old Testament, they died like we die. And beloved, they had to offer a sacrifice for their own sin. But this man, this priest, is perfect, amen. And beloved, He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Praise God this morning. A perfect plan, a perfect priest. Let me give you this morning. I'm trying to hurry. There's a perfect peace. The Bible said peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let me say something to you, beloved. If you've ever been born again, you remember that moment. Only way I can say it is, it was a perfect peace. Brother Rose, I looked all over the world for that peace. I looked in every dive and every hellhole, I even looked in religion and looked in the church. And there was only one place I could find that perfect peace. That was in the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, it's sad, but this Christmas season, so many people are going to go through life, and the furthest thing from their life is peace. Peace with God. The peace of God. I see, listen, the law couldn't make anything perfect, but God had a perfect plan. God had a perfect priest. God gives a perfect peace. And God paid the perfect price. The Bible said we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from our vain conversation in the world, but with the precious blood of Christ. Can I say this to you this morning? You may not understand this right now, but it takes me into really my next point. Because there was a perfect price paid, our Lord has a perfect people. Now you say, preacher, we're not in heaven yet. We still make mistakes. I know. But you got to remember, if you will, with me just a moment, that song that Brother Joe sings, I took off the old coat, or put off the old coat and put on the new. Let me just say this. The Bible said over there in the book of Romans that them he justified, he predestinated. Amen. That when a man gets born again, he's going to be justified. He predestinated when a man gets born again. In the eyes of God, that man is already glorified. God, when he looks at the church, he sees a perfect people. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. That's because you don't see what God sees. Beloved, it's not what you see that makes me a king this morning. It's not what you see that makes me an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. But I promise you, there's something you can't see. That blood has been applied in my heart and in my life. And there's a robe of righteousness that only Christ can give to the sinner. And beloved, it makes him perfect in the eyes of God. Oh, beloved friend, there's a perfect price that was paid. I just want to give you this morning in closing. I'm headed to a perfect place. My dad, among other things, was a handyman. If somebody had a window that wouldn't work right or a door that wouldn't work right, I mean, he just had a knack about making it work right. He was a handyman. When I thought about heaven, the Bible said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, I got news for Dad. He didn't need his tools when he got home. The songwriter said, ain't going to need this house no longer. Ain't going to need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix the shingle. Ain't got time to fix the door. Ain't got time to mend the window pane. Ain't going to need this house no longer. I'm going home to meet the saints. Let me just say to you, I don't know exactly what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be perfect. Jesus is there. And to be honest with you, that's good enough for me. Jesus is there. The law made nothing perfect but the bringing in of a better hope did. I want you to remember this Christmas season what Christ brought with him when he came to that manger in Bethlehem. He brought a hope. He brought a peace. He was going to pay that price, the ultimate price, that you and I could go free. Beloved, this morning, I think about this hope, this better hope. I'm 99% sure that I've used this illustration before, but I'm going to use it this morning again. I know there's some at least here that haven't heard it. As Vice President George Bush represented the U.S. at the funeral of former Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev, Bush was deeply moved by a silent protest carried out by Brezhnev's widow. She stood motionless by the coffin until seconds before it was closed. Then just as the soldiers touched the lid, Brezhnev's wife performed an act of great courage and hope. A gesture that must surely rank as one of the most profound acts of civil disobedience ever committed. She reached down and made the sign of a cross on her husband's chest. In the land of atheism, in the land of no hope, this woman was somehow grasping in the end for hope for her husband. There in the citadel of a secular atheistic power, the wife of the man who had run it all hoped that her husband was wrong. She hoped that there was another life, and that life was best represented by Jesus, who died on the cross, and that the same Jesus might yet have mercy on her husband. You and I that are saved and know this Bible, know this. They roll you up here in a casket, it wouldn't matter how many crosses I make on your chest. If you haven't been to Calvary, you'll die without hope. That has to happen before you die. The law has to come by and show you that you're guilty. Show you that you're not perfect. And then point you to the one whose name is Jesus, who is perfect. Beloved, if you're here this morning, the greatest thing you could ever see is hope. A better hope. You want to know why that people rolled their sleeve up last night, stuck a needle in their arm? They ain't got no hope. You want to know why they turned up one bottle after another, and they don't even know they're in the world this morning? They just don't have any hope. You say, preacher, you putting them people down? No, sir. I'm telling you this. It's the grace of God. It's not your pastor. Amen. I'm glad I found hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Grizzle, he changed my life. And he's still changing my life. And if I live to be 100, he'll still be changing my life on my 100th birthday. The hope of Israel. The hope of the Gentile. The hope of glory. The law can make nothing perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope. It didn't say it might. It said it did. Is that bringing in of a better hope? Has that made you perfect in the eyes of God? Are you covered by the blood of the Lamb? Do you know if you died today that heaven would be your home? That's really the bottom line. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for the blessed privilege to stand here, Lord. Our people have worked so hard, Lord, this week, Lord, to get ready to try to portray the importance of the birth of this man called Jesus. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that though we're just a man, we pray, Lord, that as we've shared the Word of God, Lord, that Word might make a difference in somebody's life. And Lord, this morning, I'm asking you, Father, to work in our hearts and in our lives. Two things going on here this morning in the invitation. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.